You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
It's a very simple song, but it's really good.
Very catchy.
1986. Wow. Who's celebrating birthdays today? Ludacris.
Oh.
Is 47. Real name.
No way.
Are you serious? He's 47?
47 years old. Yep. Real name is Christopher Bridges. Harry Connick Jr. is 57. Mickey Hart, the drummer from The Grateful Dead, is 81. Tommy Shaw from Styx and Damn Yankees is 71. I am officially old.
Yeah. Wow.
You just now realized that?
I'm so old that Ludacris was performing right in front of us at the after party after the Super Bowl, and I didn't know it was Ludacris until they started singing Yeah.
You said Luda who?
Chris.
Well, that's just ludicrous.
Yeah. I looked at really, Sophie, Dan? And I go, Oh, my God, is that ludicrous? She goes, I think it is. He'd done like five songs. But, you know, he's 47.
No.
He doesn't look like he did.
Is he 47?
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
And his hair was a little different. And, you know, I don't, like, listen to all of his music. I just love the song, Yeah. And so then he played that, and I was like, oh, take that, rewind it back. I know who that is.
Isn't that an Usher song, though?
Rewind it back.
It's Usher with Ludacris.
That would be correct.
But Usher was not there. Just Ludacris was there. But when he started singing that, oh, my gosh.
Did the roof come off?
The roof came off.
Okay. I'm going to be honest with you. I know that song. If Ludacris walked in this room,
you want to?
It would be like
you want a lady on the streets and a freak in the bed. That is one of the greatest lines of all time.
But that's Usher. Like if Usher walked in, I would recognize him immediately.
I would recognize Usher immediately.
But if Ludacris walked in here, I would be like,
no, you would know who he is because of his acting.
When Lynn Swan came in here that one day, and I started to hyperventilate,
like, who is that large man with all the rings on?
Dana goes, who is that?
It is amazing how many times we see people in the media, and then when we see them in person, it just doesn't register. Like, I saw Chris Brown walking around a county fair in California, and he had walked through thousands of people, and no one recognized him. And I whispered to my coworker, I think that's Chris Brown. And she yelled out, is that Chris Brown? And that ruined his entire day.
Was he being arrested?
No, he was not.
Well, they look so different on the little screen that we see them on, and to see them in person.
Who's the most famous person you've randomly run into, Dan? Randomly? Yeah.
Oh, what was his name? Oh.
Well, he's not that famous.
No.
That one guy that played that one guy.
I played the bad guy in Superman.
Well, there's a lot of those guys.
No, the original Superman movie. Come on, Scott.
Oh, with the little mustache?
Lex Luthor?
Yeah, who played Lex Luthor?
Gene Hackman,
thank you.
Oh, my God.
I had a brain freeze
freaked
there.
Freaked out if I saw Gene Hackman. Ooh, speaking of...
Yeah, he was in the same lift line out in New Mexico. I'm like, hey.
You know the time my son went up in a gondola in a closed, trapped, confined environment and then said to me many hours later, oh, my God, Mom, I ran into that news guy. And I said via text, what do you mean that news guy?
Oh,
you
I
know,
remember this
that
one.
That news guy.
With the gray hair.
With the gray hair. And I go, Wolf Blitzer? And he goes, no. And I go, so help me if you are on a gondola in Telluride with Anderson Cooper. And Anderson Cooper, he goes, oh, my God, he was the coolest guy. We hung out. Did not get a photo.
Well, that's fine. Good. You know what? Good.
That's probably why he hung out.
Did not, for his mother, he could have said, hey, news guy.
That I don't know.
No, he was like totally normal, cool dude.
See, now, I'm going to disagree with you on taking, now granted, there would be, like, if somebody came into the studio, like a Lynn Swan, they kind of expect their picture to be taken.
Yes.
In fact, I think it might be an insult to them if you don't ask for a photograph before they leave. But if we're in public, it is a cold day in hell.
A gondola that seats four people when you're seated next to Anderson Cooper is not, quote, in public.
The thing you're supposed to do is just be cool,
just
man.
Act like you know who...
And then you get to take the photo.
Did I ever tell you Carrie was sitting next to Keith Urban? This is the funniest thing ever. And she did... They were at, like, family seating. You know, like, the big picnic tables in restaurants where it's, like, you know, farm to table.
Okay.
So she ends up being seated next to Keith Urban. And then in walks Cindy Crawford, in walks Nicole Kidman, and they're all doing the breakfast thing. And Carrie is sitting there,
Well, this was at a hotel,
yes,
right?
And is texting, this is during the Formula One, and is texting her girlfriend, who is hungover upstairs, get down here, we are seated with Keith Urban. And her girlfriend says, A, I'm too hungover to come down, and B, photo or it's not true. So Carrie, who never takes a photo with celebrities, because she's just so professional, unlike Dana, takes her phone and is trying to do one of those things where you're like trying to act like you're not taking a picture, but you are, like, you know, you're like looking at your phone, but you're like doing this and trying. And what Carrie,
that's not coy.
What Carrie did not realize is the noise on her camera was still on.
Oh, her sound was on?
Yes, her sound was on. So she goes, and
oh my God.
She's not just at a table near Keith Urban. She's like 1 foot away from Keith Urban.
There was
no denying, and she's trying to play it cool. Like, I don't even know that my
phone. What was that noise?
You know how some phones make that noise and some don't?
Turn the sound on.
Mine will. Yeah, she did that anyway. And she goes, you don't realize how loud that noise is coming out of your phone until you're trying to sneak a photo of. There it goes. Yes.
Why didn't it do it?
She goes, you don't realize how loud that noise is until you're trying to sneak a photo with Keith Urban and he's seated right next to you. That's what it, like the paparazzi.
Man, I just took like 500
and
pictures.
And so he laughs and he goes, would you like a photo? And she goes, no.
Why would I?
I already got it.
No, weirdo.
I did run into Kevin Kline and Phoebe Cates.
Oh.
Phoebe Cates from Fast Times?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah, in Santa Fe.
Was she with Kevin Kline?
Yeah, they were married.
Oh, I did not know that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Long time ago. And they were having lunch in Santa Fe. And I'm like, hey, look who it is.
I have a fun do not walk.
You tell her to take her shirt off and you're going to be in the bathroom.
Weirdo.
Why do you have to make it inappropriate?
That wasn't even her body, I don't think.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Can right we focus, over my please? Head. I have a fun
right.
do not walk.
He's young to know.
I have created a new term. It is not run do not walk. It is fun do not walk. Okay.
All right.
Because Run, Do Not Walk is a very specific, like the Sign Stealer documentary. Like, Run, Do Not Walk, it's a phenomenal football documentary. So when I say Run, Do Not Walk, I want it to actually be reserved for Run, Do Not Walk. Last night we started the number one streaming thing on Netflix right now is called Perfect Couple.
Perfect Couple.
And I'm going to call this Fun Do Not Walk, speaking of Nicole Kidman. It is Nicole Kidman, who does not age ever, and Liv Schreiber. And a whole bunch of other famous people.
Why do I know that name, Liv
Schreiber? Oh, my God. You know Liv Schreiber? He's in every, like, war movie and every, like, he's always a soldier or a spy. And he does not skip arm day. Anyway, it is a fun do not walk. There's, like, 5 or 6 episodes. It's on Netflix. And Nicole Kidman plays the most perfect, hoity-toity Hamptons mother of the groom you have ever met. And they are all here for a wedding. You will not like her character. It's not a comedy. I mean, she's like, okay. I mean, where did he meet this girl? Did you see what she was wearing? It's one of those, right?
Oh, I know Liv Schreiber.
Yep. It is a fun do not walk. All I'm going to say is a body ends up washing up on shore before the nuptials. And I'm not giving anything away that's in the trailer. And then the whole thing is told in flashbacks with the detectives trying to figure out how this individual died.
Is it like a White Lotus?
It's a White Lotus, but there's nothing funny about it. White Lotus, the comedy was so rich because of Jennifer
Coolidge.
Coolidge. It is just a straight thriller whodunit, perfect wife. Perfect couple, pardon me, because Nicole Kidman and Liv Schreiber, honestly, if you were going to paint a picture of the perfect couple in the Hamptons, that's kind of what they look like. Like, he's wearing linen the whole time. I mean, to paint the picture, I'm sorry.
Okay. All right.
They have a staff.
You say it's Netflix.
She's like, Rosa, I need you to go out now and swap out the roses for the peonies. It is way too humid for the roses. I mean, it is just one of those, but it is deliciously.
Sounds like a lot of people out in Western Shawnee.
It is deliciously fabulous because somebody gets killed and then you're wondering who did it.
All right. So it's a mystery thriller.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll check it out.
And that woman does not age. I'm telling you.
Who, Nicole Kidman?
She's
beautiful.
God, she is beautiful.
Yeah, I love her. You know, I'm a huge fan. Gosh. All right, Scott, try to sound younger than 75. You know I'm a huge fan of Wheel of Fortune.
Hey, Sonny.
Swing and a miss.
I'm not kidding. So every night when I get home.
You know, after you go to the cafeteria.
Right, at Furs. I pick up some takeout at Furs.
Tapioca pudding.
If they're still open.
Got your
at
soup.
Six.
Soup to go.
Didn't realize how old I sounded until I said it.
Are the kids getting out of school? It must be time for bed.
Are the kids getting out of school? It must be time for bed.
Night, night.
Anyway, I love Wheel of Fortune. I
double down.
I have ever since I was a kid.
Did he just buy a vowel?
Yes.
And that man in white's a lovely lady.
By the way, strategy I would have used.
So on the fast cash, you don't have to pay for a vowel, but you don't get any money for it either. Anyway, Ryan Seacrest started as host on Monday night.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were like for 2 months running reruns with Pat Sajak. And so
I got him up to speed on the wheel.
Ryan Seacrest started on Monday night. He's quite good.
Did he mention anything about welcome?
He didn't say a word.
Oh, stop
about Pat Sajak.
Oh, he was slammed for that too.
And should have been.
And Wheel fans like yourself were very unhappy.
And so, and also Pat Sajak's daughter, Maggie Sajak, was part of the show at the end because she does like an online Wheel of Fortune. She's completely disappeared from the show too. So it's Vanna and Ryan, and that's
wow.
Yep. But you know, good for Vanna. She held out and would not re-sign unless or until she got paid the same amount of money as Ryan Seacrest.
Letters ain't gonna turn themselves.
That's right. Who else is gonna touch them? And by the way, they don't turn anymore.
I'm aware, Scott, but also I would not be so forthcoming with my knowledge of all things Wheel of Fortune.
I know, that was really deep stuff. He was like,
wow,
really excited to tell us.
We'll be right back.
Did you see Matlock the other night?
After the break.
Okay.
It's a burner.
So the other day we were talking about the long wait for 911 calls. Might have been on yesterday's show or Monday. I can't remember.
One family drove to the fire department in their car because their house was burning to the ground. They couldn't get through 911.
Mm-hmm.
And one woman and her husband could not get through during the birth of their baby, who was born not breathing at home.
And on that day, the longest wait time on the day of that baby's birth was 1 hour and like 30 minutes or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
This story from, and so the mayor, Quentin Lucas, said he was going to take this to the Board of Police Commissioners and get this fixed. The ongoing issue from Channel 9, the ongoing issue of long waits for 911 callers in Kansas City, Missouri, is expected to be resolved in the next 18 months. That issue was front and center at yesterday's Board of Police Commissioners meeting, during a lengthy exchange between Mayor Quentin Lucas and Kansas City Police Major Greg Williams. Major Williams promised to fix the system in 18 months and told Mayor Lucas that the primary issue with the communications division is that there simply aren't enough people to take 911 calls.
It's a crapshoot when you call. We talked about this the other day where at one part of the day, the average wait time was 50 seconds. One part of the day, it was
an hour and 30 minutes.
And then once it was an hour 30.
Yeah. Said Major Williams, it is a time issue. If you could find me 30 people tomorrow, that would be great. During their exchange, Williams told the mayor that part of the past problem was that at one point, only 4% of applicants going through the training process were ultimately hired. Williams said that with a revised training process still taking 17 weeks, 90% of applicants are now getting hired.
Good.
Said the mayor, I'm heartened by what I heard today in terms of getting more staff and getting them on board. Currently, there are 25 unfilled positions for 911 call takers and dispatchers.
Out of how many?
It is the lowest number in several years. There are 95 total positions. 25 of them are unfilled.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to have a much tougher time solving this problem than they think. There's a lot of jobs out there, and
once they
see the demand and the mental strain. And
listen to our caller yesterday, Sam, who said we can't even repeat some of what she said about one of the calls. Just know that it was trauma, just pure trauma. Yeah. And she said there were so few people to fill those shifts that you're handling that trauma and not dealing with it. And then asked to come right back in, and it starts all over again because they don't have people.
911, what is your emergency?
Yeah.
Public speakers of the Board of Police Commissioners meeting expressed their concerns about the lack of officers. There is currently 1,086 police officers in Kansas City. That is at a 50-year low. Said Fred Gambino, referencing the Brookside neighborhood and specifically the fatal shooting of restaurant owner Sean Brady, quote, "There is no immediate prospect of you having enough police officers to respond to our calls. I urge you to call the governor and ask for the Missouri National Guard and the Highway Patrol to supplement your police force until you can hire your way out of this crime wave."
But are they going to stay?
Who do you hire? I understand the mayor saying hire people. City manager saying, where are the applicants? That was specifically with the police department, Scott.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I hate to say this, but this is a problem you have to throw money at.
Correct.
This is not the I'm not going to say the days are over. I'm painting with way too broad of a brush. But I remember a good friend of mine from high school. I won't say his name on the air. I don't want to get him in trouble. But he was a police officer in Kansas City, Missouri for many years. He just recently retired. And I remember when he joined the force when we were much younger. This would have been in the mid-90s. I remember saying to him, why do you want to be a police officer in Kansas City, Missouri, when you could be a police officer in Overland Park? And he said, because I want to serve. And he said, I don't want to just drive around in a police car.
It's a calling. And that is not to say that's what they do in Overland Park. And I always remind people when people say nothing ever happens in Leawood that Allie Kemp was murdered in Leawood.
Fair
so
point.
It, you know, that that job is dangerous no matter where you put on that uniform.
But what I'm saying is,
Kansas City, Missouri,
he wanted the action.
That is a calling.
Yeah. He wanted the action of being a police officer and not writing tickets. And I'm not saying that's all they do in Overland Park or Leawood. You're right. Allie Kemp was murdered in Leawood. But this is a problem that we have, i.e. the dispatchers and the low number of police officers in Kansas City, Missouri. The only way out of this problem, and it troubles me to have to say this, is to spend more money.
Now, and they have for police officers. The starting pay has gone up substantially in recent years. But when it comes to a dispatcher and you're looking at stress level of job, mm-hmm. I'm going to go over to the grocery store that has four letters in its name and make $18 an hour,
and
only
$2 more.
Less than you're going to pay me to be a dispatcher. And I'm going to stock shelves with basically zero stress.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I'm going to have a steady schedule.
Yeah, I'm going to get to go spend my money because I'm going to have weekends off. It's going to be crazy. Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to have to pull overtime.
I might sleep at night because I won't have nightmares.
Because we're down about 25% of our staff. 913-586-7798, 586-7798.
When we get back, there's a man today facing felony charges in connection with a burglary in Waldo. He crawled through what to try to get to that Walgreens? We're going to talk about it straight ahead. And also, is this also another nail in the coffin of the traditional pharmacy? We'll talk about that straight ahead. Listen to this story before we get to the Walgreens burglary in Waldo. Wow. Family says a 75-year-old woman accused of robbing a bank was the victim of a scam, but she has pleaded guilty. A 75-year-old woman accused of robbing a bank in Ohio has pleaded guilty to the crime. Sweet Ann Mayers. Never had a traffic ticket in her life, Scott. Her family told police that the woman, who was 74 years old in April when she robbed the bank, was scammed into sending money to a person she met online. In that aspect, she was a victim. But then to try and recoup the $70,000 or $80,000 or $90,000 she's out.
Is that how much she sent?
She robs a bank, Scott. Attorney Today had no comment. On April 19th, Myers walked into a credit union in Fairfield Township and robbed it at gunpoint. Officers later found the woman at her home and the car that was used in the robbery, as well as the handgun. Authorities say she admitted robbing the bank. Yes, my favorite student in the front.
Yes. Hi, Professor. I can recall a time in the early 2000s when people would say to me, friends of mine or relatives would say something that was just so crazy that it was unbelievable.
I know.
Right? And you would say to them, well, what's your source? Where did you get that? Mm-hmm. And the answer was always, I read it on the internet.
Yeah.
And we've kind of gotten, for the most part, but not completely, it's kind of reared its ugly head again lately. But for a long time, we got away from that, and people didn't trust things that they necessarily read on the internet. Excuse me. Now, when are we going to get to the point, Professor, where people are going to stop sending their money to people online?
Mm-hmm.
People they don't know for, you know.
Where a 75-year-old woman thinks her only option at that point, because she has been wiped out, is to rob a bank. She has never a spotless record for 75 years.
Yeah.
And then Sweet Anne tells a judge, I did what I did. She also wrote letters of apology to the bank tellers.
Well, that's nice.
A family member told police she had borrowed $70,000 from two people and sent the money to a person claiming to be with U.S. Customs.
Okay. Another question, Professor.
Yes. I'm telling you.
Who would loan anyone? So if she borrowed 70 grand from two different people, that means on average, but we don't know for sure, that each person loaned her $35,000.
If Ann Mayer, who has never so much as had a traffic ticket in her entire life, comes to you and says, Scott, I need $35,000.
No, Ann.
Well, you are her son, or you are someone that, like, you've known Ann your whole life. Well, yes. What do you need? Yes, I will help you.
I love my children. I wouldn't loan them $35,000.
Well, something tells me it wasn't a close friend that she loaned this money from if she felt like she had to go rob a bank to pay it back.
I mean, she didn't even try to conceal her identity. I'm going to be serious. She looks like a little old lady walking, and I'm sure.
Does she have a gun?
In this singular case, they never saw this coming at the bank. They were like, damn, Ann, didn't see that on my bingo card today.
Should have just embezzled it.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, she's pleading guilty. She's going to go away for the rest of her life.
She is of age and of gender to be a good embezzler. I mean, she should have got a job as a secretary at a church. Just embezzle the money.
Just walk in with an application next time, not a gun, Ann.
Maybe become a county clerk somewhere.
On to Waldo.
You can just steal the money from them.
A man has been charged in an early morning burglary in Waldo.
At a Walgreens.
And I am asking, is this another nail in the coffin of the traditional pharmacy? And here's why. His name is George Carter, and he is charged with second-degree burglary and first-degree property damage for his role in the incident. Prosecutors have requested a $50,000 bond. According to court records today, police officers responded to the area of 75th and Warnell on a report of a prowler. So the main Walgreens at 75th and Warnell.
Mm-hmm.
Upon arrival, they saw a black pickup truck facing north in the pharmacy drive-thru. The pickup then fled at a high rate of speed through the parking lot. Carter reportedly climbed through the drive-thru window, breaking the window glass. Witnesses also saw Carter carrying trash bags filled with prescription drugs. Officers later found and detained him.
Was he just throwing everything he could find in there and just hoping that whatever he's looking for will be in one of the trash bags when he gets home?
I am telling you, you know we don't really have any more overnight pharmacies in Kansas City.
No, we do not. I think there's one. Or two. There's one.
There aren't very many. And this is why I do think in our lifetime, banks and pharmacies will not look the same.
That's why they're pushing you towards the delivery option.
No, I don't need my prescription. Optum Rx. Nope, not doing it. I'm not doing it. But I do think we are quickly coming to a point where pharmacies, even walking in and buying razors, and some of that stuff's now locked up.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. When was the last time you were in a CVS? Can you even find anyone working there? It's all self-checkout, and there's usually one employee.
So Walgreens is better.
Is busier.
Yes. Well, and they have more people.
With staff.
But
yes.
No, you're right. I've of course, wherever there's a Walgreens, there's a CVS. Just like wherever there's a McDonald's, there's a Burger King. The CVS near my home, and I actually prefer CVS to Walgreens. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it's just a little bit closer to my house. I don't know. But it is almost impossible to find somebody working behind the counter. You know, they have at the counter, there's a little button, and it says press for help. or assistance or whatever.
Hello?
And,
hello?
And you press it, and it just goes, ding, service requested at the front desk. They don't have anybody up there anymore. I mean, you're almost begging for somebody to walk in and just grab whatever they want. I'm not condoning that behavior. But what do you mean the end of the traditional drugstore as we know it?
I don't think
I don't want to get
these
my
spaces exist in the same way. And I think we're knocking right at the door of that. Well, where if you need a prescription filled, it will be something through a machine, or it will be something where, which is dangerous, because I like my pharmacist, Philip. I've known him for years. He knows about all my wacky medications and what I should take and what shouldn't go with what, and you take food with this
right,
and
right
not
there.
This.
That's the key.
Yeah.
The pharmacist is trained to know what mixes with what.
Yes, I know it. But I'm telling you, we are going to lose the privilege of having a walk-in pharmacy because of stuff like this.
And well, I hope you're wrong.
The reason they don't staff a bunch of people is because they're not going to stop anybody who's stealing anyway. So it's cheaper for them to pay for the higher loss insurance, the theft insurance, than it is to pay salary to four people to staff the store all day.
But I've got to believe that's hard to believe. And the part of the reason I say that, Sam, is because not that I would shoplift. I've never shoplifted anything in my life. I would feel so guilty if I did. But you got to think, if somebody is not a ne'er-do-well, but a potential ne'er-do-well, if they were to walk into like a CVS and there was somebody behind the counter,
it's a deterrent.
They might be less inclined, just through a feeling of shame or guilt, to just grab something off the shelf and just walk right out the door.
And I disagree. I don't. I think for you and I, it's a deterrent.
I was going
to
say,
for anyone walking in that wants to just shove a bunch of stuff into a cart and run out, it's they don't care.
That's like, instead of putting a master lock, you put a twig in place and you keep the honest ones honest.
Oh my God. Is it true that one person in Texas won $800 million in that jackpot? It should be illegal for one person to win that much money.
What if it was
what if it was
unless,
you?
Unless it's someone I know.
And then you would be like, legal.
Something tells me that the guy who told me that he would give me $1 million if he won on Sunday is not going to
give me. Do they always tell you that, Sam? Well, this is a winner. I'll come back and split it with you.
Well, it's only if it's over a certain amount. They'll be like, hey, I'll cut you a check. Yeah. Like, okay, I'll take 20 mil, brother.
Sure you will, Captain.
And he goes, 20 mil at 800? I'm like, yeah, what do you need 800 for?
They ever see him come back?
Not
no,
once.
That's right. 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Hurricane Francine expected to make landfall in about 2 hours on the coasts of Louisiana and Mississippi. Sam, can we check in with, is it Jim Cantore?
Yes,
it
please.
It is the great Jim Cantore.
He's wearing goggles.
I mean, I don't know how much you can see of it, but they're moored down pretty good, all right? They're all tied to those pilings and whatnot, but really, on a beautiful afternoon in Louisiana, especially getting into the fall season, this has got to be fantastic to be sitting out here, certainly on this lake. These things can obviously move around. Houseboats can go from place to place. And I saw yesterday, even on the Atchafalaya River, they were bringing boats upriver, okay, to put them in the safe harbor and get them out of this washtub type stuff that we can certainly get. So the farther upriver we know, the better certainly the situation can go.
He's wearing
but
goggles.
Guys, again, we're hoping for a little bit of a break with this and getting into the eye wall. The big question is, we don't know if we're going to get one. The one that we do get, if we even get one. Oh, I wish I had my anemometer open on that one.
What did he just say?
I wish I had my nanometer open on that one.
There's 47, 48. I mean, we that was probably a 60-mile-an-hour gust. And that's, sometimes that's all it takes.
Are those swim goggles?
47, 60.
Yes.
And that, takes a tree down. And remember how wet it's been down here. So all of these, trees, even though they're cedar and they're used to being in a wet, marshy area, now it's just been so soaked this year. And when you go from a drought like we had last year to a flood situation like we had this year with so much rainfall, that is not healthy for a tree or
okay.
the roots.
That is not
so
healthy for a tree.
You weaken the tree. And you weaken its ability
to his credit, he's not like
so
being overly dramatic and faking that he's about to get blown
because
over.
Because he's seen the real thing. I'm not that saying that Francine isn't the real thing, but that's a guy who covered Katrina. And so, you know, it's appropriate. He's leaning in a little bit, but he's
what
not.
Did he- call that thing?
A nanometer.
A nanometer. Yeah, I'm not getting any results on nanometer.
What is a nanometer?
Well, it's, nanometer is a it's a billionth of a meter.
Okay, where are my parents in all of this? Because she did say that it just seems like they're fine right now. Like there's some light rain and sick. What you said, 16 mile an hour winds.
The top right corner of your screen there, Biloxi.
Yep.
16 miles an hour.
Francine. And what, could have winds up to 100 miles an hour?
It's currently a Cat 2 cane.
What does his nanometer say?
Okay. It's Cocoterie, Louisiana right now. Yep, 100 something at flood level at, where are they? Dulac, Louisiana. I don't know.
Craig and Big Juice are going to be just fine.
They're going to be just fine.
Dan in Olathe. Hello, Dan.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hey. I know I just retired. And then the last year, I worked at a couple of different retail places.
Yeah.
Well, both of them really stressed when someone came through the door that you said, welcome in.
Huh. Oh.
I was asking them.
Because it was what?
They say, welcome in.
Yeah.
And they say that that's to deter shoplifting.
Just to say welcome.
Yeah, it's like, but it's so that you know that they're in the store. You've seen them, so
and that they've been seen.
Yeah,
yes.
They know that you know that they know that you know.
Huh? Right. But I find it kind of annoying. But, especially the customer.
When you go into a store and somebody says, "Hey, how you doing?" or "Welcome,"
good, how are you?
That bothers you.
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, well, it's like three or four people. I'm not going to mention the store that I worked at, but it's a bargain place.
Huh?
And there's like four people up front almost all the time. And when someone comes through, even if you have someone at your register, you'll get in trouble if you don't say welcome in.
All right. Hey, Dan,
there's a lot of stores with the same philosophy. Try to walk into a Buckle without being told hello right when you walk in.
Okay.
Walmart has greeters.
Jacob, we got 30 seconds. Can you do it?
Yep. My local bank here in Platte City, when they remodeled, they got up front is a reception desk, and they moved all the tellers, I guess you would say, into a locked back room. So you couldn't, I mean, maybe rob the reception desk, whatever in her pocket, maybe, but there is no cash up front.
There it is.
So you're just going to look like an idiot.
Now, hang on there. How do you deal with the teller then if they're in the back behind glass?
There's receptionist up front. They take your order, whatever you need to do. And then on each side of her, so you really don't even have to deal with her. There's two screens to each side of her. You can go do it all yourself. And then they got the little vacuum sucker tube.
Oh, they've got those zoom zoom things.
Yep.
There's a name for those things.
Pneumatic.
Yep. And then they send your stuff right back out to you. I'll be done.
All right, buddy. Hey, do appreciate it. News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in just two short minutes. That guy over there is Sam Stevie III. She is Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. Don't forget to check out the Dana and Parks podcast. It's available at KMBZ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.